Hello, folks, and welcome to Strong Tower Radio Feature. I'm your host, Tom Majeur, and I am on Mackinac Island for the Lilac Festival. You know, we've visited in May the Holland Tulip Festival, one of the most notable festivals in the state of Michigan. And today, we're going to be exploring one of the most notable islands in the state of Michigan. I have with me Stephanie Castelline. Welcome, Stephanie, to Strong Tower Radio Feature.
Hey, thanks for having me, and thanks for being here today.
You're very welcome. Well, what event are we looking forward to?
Yeah, coming up here in June, so June 9th through the 18th, we have the 75th annual Mackinac Island Lilac Festival.
And we are here.
We are here.
That's right. We got to do this. Hey, Stephanie, what weekend week is the festival each year as designated?
Yeah, it's generally the last Sunday is generally Father's Day, but that actually moves up kind of in rotation every 5 years, and then it cycles back to the Father's Day. So last year we were early. We were like June 2nd is when it started, and then a 10-day festival. This year, you know, we're the 9th, like I mentioned. So generally, though, the first or second week in June.
Fantastic. And folks, I hope you can hear the ambiance, the sound of the area setting the place. We are sitting on the porch. Whose porch are we sitting on?
Yeah, we're right here and kind of near downtown, but close enough out that you get that quietness that you're talking about. We're at Bogan Lane Inn. Trish Martin runs this wonderful bed and breakfast, and yeah, we're going to be talking to her in just a bit.
Absolutely. With that in mind, let's have a word of prayer and get started with our interview. Our Father in heaven, it's such a blessing to be at one of these precious places on earth, Mackinac Island, situated between in the Straits on the Lake Huron side, but adjacent to Lake Michigan. And we're just so glad to be studying nature and taking nature walks and talking about birds and the festival that's coming up. In Jesus' name, amen. Stephanie, tell us a little bit, do you want to start with the history or do you want to talk about Mackinac Island itself?
Yeah, can I talk about everything?
Everything.
Okay. Yeah. No, let's start with the festival.
Okay.
So festival celebrating 75 years began in 1949 by Ling Horn and Stella King. They were the two ladies who were inspired by the cherry blossoms out in D.C. They saw the amazing blooms out there and the parade and how people gathered to see and celebrate these amazing, you know, cherry blossoms. And they thought, well, we have that on Mackinac Island with lilacs.
Just people got to know about it.
Exactly. And if we back up a little bit, I mean, we could get into the history of lilacs, which I know Trish knows a lot about, and some other folks we're talking with in the segment as well. They can talk about the different species of lilacs and the numbers and the involvement that people have had here. But as far as the festival goes, we have over 250 different species of lilacs, over 300 bushes on the island. So one thing that I love that our friend Jeff Young, who was our lilac expert for many years, said is that the lilacs on Mackinac Island are so unique because they're a part of the community. You see them at people's place of residence. You see them at bed and breakfast, at the bigger hotels. You see them at the city lots, in the state park. I mean, Marquette Park has so many different varieties of lilacs and so many shrubs itself that it's really a part of the community, and I just love that, and that's what we try to promote when we talk about the Lilac Festival.
Absolutely. What about the history?
Yeah, so again, it began in 1949, so celebrating 75 years. It was a one-day event, so it was a little parade and just a little gathering.
Just a community affair.
Just a community affair celebrating the lilacs that, you know, turned into a weekend event, that turned into a week-long event, and now is a 10-day festival. So we have so many different events that actually happen throughout the 10 days, of course, but that is really the history of it and how it got started, and it continues every year since.
You know, Steph, in preparing for the interview, I looked over the activities, and it, really those 10 days, it has a community affair a feeling, but you're inviting the whole state, the whole country to Mackinac Island.
Absolutely. I mean, if you haven't seen the lilacs on Mackinac Island, I definitely encourage everyone to see them. They are incredible. They're like nowhere else in the world, honestly. And that's what Jeff had, you know, repeated every year. They don't grow like this everywhere. They don't get this big. They don't get this bountiful. So it's really something special to see. And then, like you mentioned, we're inviting everyone up. We always recommend spending the night. Always a recommendation to get that feeling of Mackinac Island, which is just that slower pace, that peaceful pace, that sitting on the porch, which we're doing right now, pace, and you really get that by spending the night. But of course, if you can't spend the night, coming for a day trip is also amazing. And you'll get to see the lilacs, do some of the, you know, tourism things, which we always love and promote as well. But getting to be a part of the festival is really special.
You know, Stephanie, as you were escorting us up here to the Borg, I got behind some people that were on island time. They were walking at half pace, but it's okay to do that on Mackinac Island.
It's okay. Many people, you know, when you pull up in that ferry boat and you see the island, you just get this, you know, sense of relief and a big kind of breath of fresh air of like, okay. And you know, everything, and Trish knows this, but everything I say is earned on the island. You know, you want to exchange a washer and dryer, it has to be delivered by horse and dray,
right?
That's
just what happened.
Exactly. But you want to go get groceries, you have to hop on your bike and go get groceries. You want to go greet a friend, you have to hop on your bike or walk over. So everything is earned a little bit slower, and you're a part of nature and all of it, which is something that I really enjoy about being here.
Well, just think about it. When was the last time, at least, I had a horse-drawn delivery to my house? And I just observed that just a few minutes ago.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible the logistics that happen here. I've been working on the island for 2 years now. This is my third season, and I still try every day to figure it out, and I haven't done it quite yet, but somehow
maybe that's part of the mystery.
The magic of Mackinac, things happen. You call a friend or a neighbor, and they somehow tell you who to connect with, and it just somehow happens, and it's amazing.
Well, just we're on a side street in a bed and breakfast, and probably a series of them here, and it is truly a different experience. I've never experienced it before, being a day visitor.
No, it's incredible. And we have, you know, if I talk about the tourism side just a little bit, we
Please
have
do.
39 different places to stay. So we have bed and breakfast, we have historic inns, boutique hotels, we have some larger resorts, Grand Hotel and Mission Point Resort. We even have some condos downtown for, you know, families with kitchens and things like that, some apartments up here. So just a wide variety of places to stay, which I think, you know, it's cliche to say there's something for everyone, but there really is.
Well, we're sitting on Trish's porch. We better talk to her.
Please, so. Yes. One of my favorite people to talk with.
Thank you.
Well, Stephanie, will you kind of lead us in this part of the interview?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're with Trish Martin with Bogan Lane Inn. And Trish, want to tell us about the bed and breakfast and your experience here on Mackinac Island? Let's start there.
Well, I've lived here pretty much all my life.
Not that we want to ask, but how long is that?
Well, I've lived on the island since 1963.
Okay.
My parents came here right after the war, World War II, that is. And with moral rearmament, but that's a whole nother topic of conversation. I opened, this was our family home. It was built in the 1850s.
Wow.
By a man named Francis Bogan, whose son actually built what's now the Inn on Mackinac at the bottom of the hill as well. And that's why this was Bogan's Lane. And the house was abandoned for 30 years from 29 to 59, and then basically put back together again. A lot of things went through the Depression and were left here at that point, not doing much. And then in 1977, I opened it up as a bed and breakfast and have been here ever since.
Is it possible we could step inside and you give us a brief tour?
Sure, we could do that. I have guests in all my rooms,
well,
so
we
I can't show
that.
You the rooms. I can show you the living room, but that's about the extent right now.
What, this is our traditional parlor.
This is my parlor, yep.
You with know, the upright piano, that was almost a must in the day.
And we have groups of us that get together and play music, and I've got my mountain dulcimer and my guitar over there as well, and there's a crew of us that get together and play. The guy who runs Island House Hotel joins us, and Small Point, and a number of the other places here, and our veterinarian is a great guitar player. We all sit and play and all sorts of fun stuff.
Regular jam session.
Oh, yeah. Frequently in the backyard or in the living room, depending on the weather. And and guests are more than welcome to come and sit and read or chat. Or if it's inclement weather, we have a fire going and, you
just
know.
Just a home environment.
Yeah, that's what we do. And then we have breakfast in the dining room most mornings.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of thing.
Yeah. You know, I was actually fortunate enough to stay with Trish.
That's right. That's
here. Yeah, before I actually moved to the island and started working for the Tourism Bureau, I actually was a guest. And it was, you know, we just talk about that experience, the different experiences you have on the island and with spending the night. But especially at a bed and breakfast, there's something really unique because you're generally staying with someone who is here year round. You're generally staying with someone who has been here for many years, in Trish's case, almost her whole life, and then just has stories, recommendations, and just those intricacies that you don't think about. We're not just a tourist destination. We also are a community who gets together and sings and plays instruments and has community theater in the winters and learns pottery from our local, you know, pottery artists and all of that. So it's just so much more than a place to visit. It's a place to live.
Well, Trish, would you mind sharing a story or two of maybe one of your guests that you've had over the years?
Well, I've had lots of wonderful guests, many of whom have become friends. Some have even house sat for me when I had to go to graduation ceremonies and various things.
So they just returned the favor.
They returned the favor. They said, yeah, if you ever get stuck, we'll come up and house sit. They don't live too far away. And so, and they were actually thinking about becoming innkeepers. They spent one weekend at my house doing that. They've done a couple times, but yeah, they decided they didn't want to be innkeepers after doing it. No, they didn't realize quite what all is involved. You know, it takes a lot of work, and they decided no, but they like coming and subbing in.
Absolutely.
To do it, and they know the island well, so it's great fun. But, you know, we have wonderful people who've become great friends and come and stay, and, you know, stay for a week, and we go to all the island things together and stuff like that, summer, winter, you know.
All of it.
All that.
Yeah.
So how do, if a person wanted to do a bed and breakfast, Steph or Trish, how does a person get it, make a reservation?
Well, there are several ways. Some of the reservations can be done online.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not one of them. I'm old school. So I like to talk to people on the phone.
So how do they reach you? What's your telephone number?
Oh, 906-847-3439.
And you heard it right here.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And then, like Trish said, you know, of course, online reservations, they can also contact us for availability. Trish was just filling that out before we showed up here. We keep track kind of what's still open on the island. But, you know, Trish is not only you know, bed and breakfast keeper and owner. She also is a part of the Lilac Festival. She has a nature walk that she does, and then she was a part of a lot of the plantings for the festival, or excuse me, for the lilacs in general. We've done some studies and some partnerships with International Lilac Society many years ago now that she was a part of. So yeah, she's involved with the lilacs. She's a keeper of the lilacs. We actually keep them here up at her place because we give some away during the festival, and she helps have a place to put them and water them. So she's very much involved. Like I said, it's a community here on the island. It's not magic that just happens. It is magic that somehow just happens, but it takes a lot of people, and Trish is one of them.
So what's our next step?
Yeah, so we'll be going to talk with Dominic Miller with the State Parks, Mackinac Historic State Park and Fort Mackinac. So he's got some different ideas and topics for us of what's going on during the festival and kind of what their role is here on the island.
Looking forward to it. Trish, thanks so much for your hospitality.
Yeah, well, thank you. And the only other thing I do want to say is that during the Lilac Festival, one of the things that's my favorite thing to do is to do the nature walk. I have a master's in field botany, having done a floristic study of the vascular plants of Mackinac Island for my thesis. And I write the natural history column for the paper here every week. And so once a year, I get going and grab a bunch of people that come up to the house. It's free of charge. We take them for a couple hour walk in the woods. And Stephanie just let me know that her husband, who is a wonderful birder, is going to come with me again this year, which mm-hmm. is fun. So get to know some of the birds as well as the plants every Tuesday during Lilac. The Tuesday during Lilac Festival, that's what we do.
People love that walk. It's so much fun.
We have a
and
good time.
Get to go out off the main street where it's super busy and get into the woods.
Since the park, the island is 82% state park, it's kind of nice to be able to get out of the way of downtown.
That's right. Well, thank you so much, mm-hmm. Trish.
Thank you. It's good to have you here, and have fun.
See you on the next visit to Mackinac Island.
We'd love to have you.
Steph, we've just transitioned from the bed and breakfast, and now where are we?
Yeah, so we're right in the downtown area, Marquette Park. And if you close your eyes and look around, well, I guess don't look around. If you close your eyes and imagine where you are, we're in a big, beautiful green space right across from the marina, right down from Fort Mackinac, which sits up on the bluff. You can see the historic fort up there and hear it.
It's 100 plus feet above us.
It's amazing.
There's a green grass, perfectly manicured, and at every corner there is a lilac bush.
There is, and this is actually one of the main parts of our walking tour, which we'll talk about soon. But with us now, we actually have Dominic Miller with the Mackinac State Historic Parks, and he knows all things history and some of the events that they have going on, and of course the state park here on the island.
There's a rich history. We know that this is the 75th anniversary of the Lilac Festival, but there's a greater history. The French and the English and the Americans all like this island.
Absolutely. So our history here on Mackinac Island, as we kind of portray it, starts in 1780, and that's when the British start constructing Fort Mackinac up on the bluff overlooking Mackinac Island. The origins of this fort are actually in Mackinac City, which is present-day Mackinac City on the northern tip of the Lower Peninsula. The French constructed Michilimackinac there in 1715. The British later took control of that fort, and during the American Revolution started searching out a place to be a more defensible location for that fort, moved over here to Mackinac Island, and started constructing Fort Mackinac in 1780. The area that we're standing in now, Marquette Park, was actually the pasture for the fort historically, but now it's kind of a Mackinac's premier green space down still in the downtown area. It's a great place, and if you're looking around today, you can imagine it today. There's people lounging about in the grass enjoying the sunshine, but in a place that has historically always been part of the fort. So we're actually standing in a portion of the fort right now, even though it is towering down above us in the park down here.
What is, those who have never been to this, we literally have a statewide audience with our terrestrial, that's our ground-based broadcast, but we also have our smartphone apps, which broadcast received wherever there's internet service, which is the world. Describe this to somebody who's never ever been here. How big is this island? It was a strategic, the two lakes, the Great Lakes, the Huron and Lake Michigan, come to a point up above, further up the upper peninsulas above us there, and of course Lake Superior, and this is a strategic point here.
So this was the crossroads of the fur trade. So this was the place in the late 1700s into the early 1800s. And it shows the value of how important this little 8 mile around rock is in Lake Huron, that in the War of 1812, after that war, the Americans declare war on England. The first thing they do is they retake Fort Mackinac from the Americans.
First thing.
It's the first land engagement of that war. It happened right here. So they land a force of about 600 troops and Native American allies and others at what's now called British Landing. And we know why it's called British Landing, and march up to the high ground behind the fort and pretty much say surrender or else. There was only 60 people in the fort, and it goes again to show how important this spot was historically. The Americans tried to retake it by force a couple of years later. They were first firing cannons up at the fort. They couldn't make it, so then they tried doing the same thing the British had done a couple of years previous, and a battle ensued on the island, what's today Washkamo Golf Course. It was a farm back in 1814, but the Americans tried to retake it. They lost that battle, but they did get this fort back when the Treaty of Ghent ended the war. So that shows right in that time frame how valuable this area is. Over at Michilimackinac in the 1700s, there was millions of dollars of goods being traded back and forth. This was the highway, the straits out here, Straits of Mackinac. This was the highway. You could get to Montreal, you could get to New York, you could get to the Mississippi River, you can get anywhere you needed to go, exactly. So this was the superhighway, and this was one of the premier depots for that. You had people from all over the world coming here, goods from all over the world coming here and spending their summers here and trading, and kind of similar to what we do now. We gather here on Mackinac Island in the summer, lots of goods and things are exchanged, and then we move on for the winter. But this was the spot in the summertime here, and in a very important strategic location for both the Americans and the British.
Sounds like the tourists have taken it captive right
Absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely, but we welcome the tourists in the summer as they're coming here.
Well, Dominic, thank you so much for being a part of our tour, and who do we see next, Steph?
Yeah, we're going to be talking with Ann Borowitz, our lilac expert here, and she leads the walking tours.
Very good. Stephanie, we have a very important person here, a VIP of Lilacs. Tell us about her.
Yeah, now we're going to be talking with Ann Borowitz, our Lilac docent here. I had talked about Jeff Young a little bit when we were talking with Trish Martin, and he was our Lilac expert for many, many years and let us know that he was retiring. So we put a call out to the Master Gardeners of Michigan, and Ann answered that call last year. She was able to shadow Jeff all last festival, last year's festival, and then has 100% dove into the work that it takes to know the lilacs here on the island, to know lilacs in general, to help us take care of them. We have a lilac preservation fund that we started a few years ago that's just starting to kind of get some funding behind it, and she has been a big part of spearheading the care and maintenance of the lilacs and helping us with that. And now she's here today actually taking some measurements. She's going to be doing walking tours during the festival. She's going to be doing planting sessions. So in addition to all of our wonderful events that our businesses are doing and that we're helping host, this is actually one of the biggest ones, and a big reason why people come is to not only see the lilacs, but learn about them, learn how to care for them, learn how to prune, learn how to plant. And Anne is going to be kind of the knowledge behind all of that.
Sounds like just the reason to come is if you're serious into lilacs. And really, you know, as you travel the state of Michigan, especially on the west side, and maybe other areas, you can go from residence to residence. I mean, just driving down the highways, particularly M66, and just see every house has a lilac. Mm-hmm.
Right, and we've noticed that too. We just came last weekend. We came from the Minnesota area, and so we drove US 2 all across the Upper Peninsula, all the way from the northwestern tip of Michigan all the way to the eastern tip of Michigan along US 2, and there were lilacs, and they were so pronounced you can smell them as you're driving down the highway, you know, and they have a beautiful perfume smell to them, and they're very distinct. So if you would please take time to look at the lilacs, because there are so many varieties on the island. We have well over 300 varieties of lilacs on this, different varieties on this island.
I didn't even know there were that many lilacs.
There are, as far as number of lilacs, we're looking at about 2,600 lilacs around the world. And so we have a very good representation of, here on Mackinac Island, of all the lilacs that are around the world. These lilacs are non-native to the area. They've been naturalized because of the limestone breccia, and what happens is with this, they grow very well here. There's speculations on when they were planted and whatnot. They're planted at various times. They're woven like a thread through the whole island, and they're part of everyone's life here on the island.
What is a typical tour that you're going to be doing during the Lilac Festival? How long does it take? I understand it's free. Mm-hmm. I mean, free, my sister says free is good.
Yeah.
Can you give us that experience in these next few minutes?
Right. And a typical tour is, we're going to start, generally speaking, at the post office in town by the Tourism Bureau. And we'll point out the fourth in the series of lilacs. There's four series of lilacs, generally speaking, of all lilacs. And so we'll start with the Japonia one at the post office. It is actually there's only three types of actual lilac trees. The rest are shrubs.
Yeah, so can I jump in here? Because sure. If you look at these shrubs here in Marquette Park, they are 10, 12, 14, 18 feet tall, some of those over there. Right. Those are shrubs. Okay. They're not technically trees, which I find absolutely amazing as someone who didn't know much about lilacs before this. Those are actually shrubs. So kind of something cool to understand.
Typically what happens is these things are in their natural environment, which here in Marquette Park, it's pretty much naturalized, which means they're growing in what they would find out on your country fields and stuff like that. They're pretty much as you would see them. And so just at a natural state, they're not heavily pruned at all. The blooms are the different colors of lilac. There are seven different colors of lilac, and you can see all seven are represented here in the park.
Okay. Well, so of course we're auditory medium, but there's definitely white, and then there's lavender, and then there's these really purpley
ones.
Right.
The colors are we've got white, and then we've got violet, and then from violet we go to blue, lilac, pink, magenta, purple. That's your seven colors of lilac. The yellow, they say that, you know, if you were in Europe, you would say maybe there's an eighth color, and they call that a creamy white. But in the United States here, in the horticultural gardens of like the Arnold Arboretum and the in, for instance, the Royal Horticultural Center in Ontario, they stick to the seven colors. So basically, we're looking at here, we have the we can see the white, we can see the dark purple, we can see the lilac color, and also there's also the violet as well. And so the different species are represented here.
What about fragrance? Are all lilacs created equal?
No, actually the later lilac fragrances are more of a spicy scent, whereas the hyacinthiflora floras are more a floral scent. So you get the earlier lilacs that are, you're gonna find what you would think of your grandmother's garden as being a hyacinthiflora, Syringa vulgaris, which is, vulgaris meaning common lilac. And so what you're actually seeing a lot of here in bloom is, or that you will experience in bloom, is the Syringa vulgaris, which is the common lilac. But nevertheless, with so many varieties that we had talked about earlier, that you're getting a lot of color. You're getting a great burst of color and fragrance.
What is one of the frequently asked questions that you have of people that are on the tour?
On the tour, the most frequently asked question is, when's the best time to prune your lilac? And our response is, the best time to prune it, like 2 weeks after it's bloomed, because it sets its blooms for the next year. It needs the cold to really set those blooms. But you know, it's like, in all due reality, life gets busy on us all. And so the best time to prune your lilac is when you think about it.
Well, Anne, it's been a pleasure. Steph, would you tell us when that people may go on one of these tours with Anne?
Yeah, they're daily tours. So they're the festival is Friday. The first tour is Saturday, and they're, depending on the day, it varies a bit. There's one or two tours a day, and then there is always a planting session at 3. And at that planting session, we talk all things planting, taking this actual lilac plant home and what it needs and the care it needs to help it be successful. And then families actually get to leave, or groups get to leave with one of these plants. We give them away.
Okay, better than that.
Yeah, we give them away, just donation based sort of thing, and they get to take that home and get a lilac plant to plant on their own and hopefully thrive. And what's been nice is we've done that for many years, and people come back and show us photos of these lilacs. They show us the growth, they show us what they've done, they ask questions about, oh no, it's doing this, sort of thing. So this is really a chance for them to kind of ask all those lilac and gardening questions. But yeah, Anne is busy those 10 days, very, very busy. And in addition to all the walking tours and planting sessions, she helps us in many other ways as well.
Well, Steph, what else do we have left?
Yeah, that is, kind of all for what we have here. Some of the events are, all of the events are going to be online on our website, mackinawisland.org. And you can find a daily schedule of events as well as the whole festival. So in addition to, visiting Fort Mackinac, going on a carriage tour and doing all of those things, we are also have the Lilac Festival happening, which is just part of everything that goes on.
Very good. Steph, what a wonderful time. And we hate to leave our listeners here in this virtual tour on a beautiful 71 degree day, looking out over the harbor and into Lake Huron, and the green of the grass and the lilacs of every color imaginable here. It's just been a pleasure to be on the island, and thank you for hosting us.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for being here and for having us.
For Strong Tower Radio, I'm Tom Majeure. God bless. Bye now.